Very good. Okay, so we're in the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, the two lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes a brayso that says, "Ha'isa gavoa me'esim amah." Let's say the sukkah was 20 amos high, which we already know by now is possible. Ubalimat, and the person wants to minimize the distance between the ceiling and the floor. So he wants to minimize it bikarmu v'kisso. So you figure he'll place some pillows and blankets and stuff to make the floor higher up, and this way the distance between the floor and the 20 amos, the schach, will be less than 20 amos. Will that work? The Gemara says lo havi mir. That doesn't work. And Rashi explains the last line because lo havi mir shein sofo lehaniach sham kol shiva. People don't plan on leaving their pillows and the blankets there all 7 days. If they have some mamonik, he's going to lose out. It's going to rain, it's going to get dirty. So that's not considered mit because he doesn't plan on leaving there forever. It's very temporary. Riafa Gavlik Mar says, Dibatlinu. Even if, let's say, he decides to be Mevatelit, Lekulo, he says, okay, you know what? I'm going to be Mevatel. I'm going to leave this blanket, these pillows here forever, and I'm going to leave it for all 7 days. That still won't work. The bitl here won't work. Mishum debatla daitel etzakadim. The Gemara uses a number of times that just because he wants to do it, he's the only person in the world who was willing to take his pillows and blankets and places outside and be mevatel. So therefore, we don't acknowledge his bitl as being a bitl, and it's still considered a puzzle 20 amos sukkah. Says the Gemara, Tevin ubatla. Let's say he takes some tevin, some straw, places it down on the ground to minimize the 20 amos distance. Bitlu, and he says bato, he's leaving it there. And Rashi says ubitlo bifiv the shiva. He articulates it. He says it outright that I want to be mevato this tevin. Have mir. The Gemara says that's considered a mir. That will be now a kosher sukkah. The kol shekain afar ubitlo, and certainly if he takes dirt and places it down there and is mevatel the dirt, that certainly will work, because if straw is going to be part of the ground, which is not naturally part of the ground, and certainly dirt will be part of the ground and be mevatel, will be then less than a 20 amos sukkah. The Gemara wonders though, what about tevin vein asud lifnoso? Let's say he places some straw down, and he doesn't plan on, he doesn't need the straw over the next week or so. But he doesn't actually mevatel though. So as opposed to a pillow and a blanket, a person is unlikely to leave it there for 7 days. But a tevin, it's very likely a person will leave it outside for 7 days, but he's not mevatel. So how do you categorize that? It's not bitl, but it's not like the pillows and blankets either. Or the Gemara says, what about a case of ofar stam? Let's say he just places dirt there, and he doesn't know if he's going to need the dirt later on. So these two cases where it's not explicitly where he's being mevatel it, but at the same time it's very likely a person will leave it there for more than a week. So what's the halacha? Will this be good enough to mevatel and minimize the distance between the floor and the ischach? So the Gemara says this is in fact the machlokas of Yossi Rabbanim. Yossi Rabbanim argue on this point. The Tanah, the Mishnah tells us in Olos, talking about Tumah, Bayis shemilehu tevin otsroro. So you have a house that's filled with straw, or it's filled with some pebbles, ubitlu, and you revatel it as part of the house. Mivotel, it's considered bitl, it's part of the house. We'll see exactly what the relevance to Oholos that is, but it's called bitl works. The Gemara's medayik, bitlu in lo bitlu lo. Only because you mevatel the straw and you mevatel the tsroros, the pebbles, is mevata. But let's say you were not mevata, you just stam place it down, that does not work. So here tros, in the case of the sukkah, you're just placing the dirt down, just placing the straw, that won't be bitl. That's the first opinion, that's the opinion of the Rabbanon. But then the Gemara continues and says, Vitani Allah, and on this it was stated, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tevin ve'ein asa lifnoso. Let's say you place straw down and you don't plan on taking it over the next however many days in terms of olos. Harei huka'afar stam ubato. It's like regular dirt that I place on the ground, even though I never articulated it. And dirt you just place on the ground, that is bitl. Even though I don't say bitl, it works as bitl. Va'afar va'asa lifnoso. But let's say I have dirt I place on the ground and I plan to eventually move it. I don't plan on leaving it there forever. Harei huka stam tevin v'lo bato. That's like a stam case of straw, and it will not be bato. So according to Rabbi Yossi, Yossi says again that bitl can work even though I don't actually say it. While Rabbanan say bitl only works if I say it, but if I don't say it, it doesn't work. So Rabbi Yossi is a little bit confusing, but what he does say, a stam case of Afar, Stam, that is Bittul, and Tevin, which I never articulated, but at the same time, it wasn't Stam, it's more than Stam, it's where I had in mind never not to move it for a week or so, that's also going to be Bittul, even though I didn't actually articulate it. But just like Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi argue about whether you have to articulate Bittul or not, so by Olos, the same halacha applies when it comes to the halachas of Sukkah, the floor of the Sukkah. So if you look at the Rashi, Dibra Maskel Halchi Garsinon Bais Shemilehu, the Halchi Garsinon isn't bold, but it starts Bais Shemilehu is bold. He says Bais Shemilehu Tevin Otzrovus Ubitlu. We have a house full of straw and full of pebbles. It's bitl. Uleinian Olos Tanan. It's referring to Olos tents, meaning the Tuma Sheyeshla Ohel Chalal Tefach. You have a tent, a mace, a dead body is in some type of encasement, and there's a Chalal Tefach. There's an open area of a Tefach there. The tuma will not go through, will not penetrate the tent. It stays within. You need a chal tefach, an open area of a tefach. But a val tuma rutsutza, if it's very narrow space, she'ein la chal tefach, there's not an open area of tefach. Heimanu lagag, from it, heimanu is a very important word, from the mace lagag, sheginegdo al rakia, it goes up tuma boka vola. So Rashi sounds like you need an open area from where the mace is and where the top of the ohel is. If there's less than that, it goes penetrates through, goes to Shemaim. If there's more than a tefach between the mace and the encasement, the tumah has some area to stay within. It doesn't penetrate through. So the Rashash Medayik, that when let's say there's a coffin that is more than a tefach, you need from the mace to the ohel. You don't look at the ohel itself, you look from the mace to the ohel. Other Achbarim argue and say, no, you have to look at the entire ohel. The mace doesn't take up the space. As long as the box is a tefach big, even though the mace kind of gets stuffed in there and there's no open area, as long as the ohel itself is a tefach wide, that will be considered a chatzita and prevent the tumah from penetrating through the box. So that's the machlokas, Rashash reading Rashi versus other Achmanim. It's actually very lemaisa. Someone's asked me, a Kohen wanted to ask me if he's allowed to go to the Museum of Natural History where they have skeletons and dead bodies there and they're all put in encasement. Are those encasements considered an ohel whereby it won't penetrate through and you could walk, you go to the museum? So it's not such a simple answer, but based on a lot of different points. But I think he was advised not to go.
Anywhere
in the building, right. Yeah. Anywhere in the building, exactly. There's some, because the halacha that an ohel in another ohel, the encasement, which is in a larger room, so you always look at the larger room as the biggest ohel. So the smaller encasement that it might be in is really meaningless, and the entire building is viewed as one big ohel of any mace that's inside the room, inside the museum. So he was advised not to go. But there are heterim. Because, just to say, because we generally paskin that the tumas of a mace nachri, a non-Jewish mace, they don't have tumas ohel. But the Ramah says one should be machmir and be concerned with the tumas ohel of a nachri. So it's a chumrah of the Ramah. But then the question is, since it's only a chumrah, can you rely on other heterim? It's an interesting sugya. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, Hayisah gvoa me'esim amal. Let's say the sukkah was 20 amos high. The hutzin yardin besoch esim amal. And some of the schach, the reed or the whatever it's made of, is hanging down into the sukkah now. So now, since part of the schach is hanging into the sukkah, will that minimize the 20 amos? Before he spoke about 20 amos raising the floor. Now we're talking about the schach is hanging down. Will the hanging of the schach, will that make the 20 amos less and now make it a kasha sukkah? So the Gemara says, Im tzilsam meruba mechamasam kshera. The things hanging down themselves, the hutzin, if they themselves, all these little hanging schachs, they themselves add up together where it could provide more shade than sunlight, ignoring the top layer of schach, which is above 20 amos, so then you could view the hutzin as a kasher sukkah, since it provides more shade than sun, and it's a kasher sukkah. Vimlav, if the hutzin that are hanging down do not provide more shade than sun, you cannot view it as an independent schach, then the schach is really viewed as the one that's above the hanging, and the one that's above is really 20 amos above the floor, then the Gemara says that's going to be psula. Let's say the Gemara says ha'isa gvoa asar tzvachim. Let's say this: the lowest height of a sukkah has to be 10 tzvachim. Let's say it's 10 tzvachim high. But however, the hotzen yordan l'soch asarab. But now this case, the schach's hanging down, so it's really making it less than 10 tzvachim. What's the halacha? So Sabra Abai Lameim, Abai thought to say the same thing should apply. Im chamasa meruba mitilson, if in this case the hutzin has more sun than shade, in which case the hutzin will not be a good schach, you ignore it, so then it should be ksheira, because you don't acknowledge the hutzin, you acknowledge the above schach, because it's the above schach that provides most of the shade. That's what Abai initially wanted to say. But Amalei Rava, Rava says no. Across the board, whether or not these hutin provide more shade than sun and more sun than shade, hadira suchi. This is a, how do they interpret dira suchi? It's a very uncomfortable living space.
Odious.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what that means. But
something is odious, it's like air depleted, odor, which says the same thing, it's like repulsive.
Okay.
Who would
want to
do that?
Okay, fine. So it's a dira sukha. It's not the best living area. So if ain adam dar, dira sukha, a person doesn't want to live in such a small space. So again, even though the hutin might be more sun than shade, hutin really don't impact the nature of the schach, it's still a very uncomfortable living space.
No.
Rashash asks on this, what do you mean? So does somebody want to live in a 10 tefachim high? 10 tefachim is what, 40 inches or so? It's 3 feet and 4 inches. That's, I don't know, like this high?
No,
right? No, that's from the floor. Three and a half feet? That's, yeah, okay. So like that? So if 10 tefachim is 4 inches, each tefach, that's 40, okay, that's pretty small. Rashash says, so that's a kasher sukkah, 10 tefachim high, but if below that, that's not kasher, isn't that dira sukkah? So they say in the back, since you're able to sit down on the floor comfortably, your head won't, I guess from your sitting down to your head will be under that, that's at least somewhat comfortable. Once things start hanging down in your head, that's already too much. That's how he explains that. That's not considered dira sukkah. Only below 10 tefachim is considered dira sukkah. Gemara says, what about a case of ha'isan gvoa me'esrim amos? Let's say the sukkah is 20 amos high. Ubana ba'itzva. You build some type of platform in the middle. So the platform now, again, the main ground is 20 amos, but then you build a platform, but not
a stage.
A stage, right. But you don't raise the stage over the entire floor. Only part of the schach sukkah has the stage, and part of it has the regular floor. So what's the halacha? So again, banaba itztava keneged dofan ha'emtzai. So we're assuming right now it's a three-walled sukkah. There's a picture in the Gemara here. So you build a keneged the middle wall, and it touches, it hugs the two other walls as well. Al pnei kula, goes along the entire middle wall. And in that area there's a hechsher sukkah, meaning let's say it's 7.5 by 7.5. Even though the entire sukkah might be, it's a 20 by 7.5. This stage only covers 7.5 by 7.5, so that is going to be a kasher sukkah because it has three walls. Let's say let's say you build it like the second picture now, from the side, not the middle wall, but the side of it. So it only really hugs two of the walls, not the third wall, and you need three walls to make it a kasher sukkah. If there is, from the stage until that last wall, more than dal amos, it's a pasul sukkah. Because there's no third wall that we could say part of it. But let's say it's pachos me'arba amos, it's less than 4 amos apart. Kshera, we could assume that third wall is connected, even though it's physically not connected to it. But less than 4 amos, we could view them as being connected, halachically speaking. The Gemara says, "My kamashman, what's the chiddush? What's the tool that's being used? What's the vehicle that they say allows you to assume that the wall and the stage are attached?" My kamashman, the Amrita and Dofen Akuma, we teach Dofen Akuma that we could assume that the wall gets bent and touches it. So Machlok is exactly how to understand Dofen Akuma. So Rashi explains that Dofen Akuma means that we view as if the schach, right? If you look from the bird's eye, not bird's eye view, I guess, but from a side view. So this is the itztva. this is the wall, it's far away, and there's a schach that connects over. So we view the wall, and now the schach continuing as a wall, bent wall. So now the bent wall is connecting to the schach, which begins. I wonder if they have a better picture here than me using my hands. Right, okay. Right, so like in this case here, like the stage here, so we assume this wall and this schach, that schach is still part of the wall, it's a wall that connects. So this wall is connecting to the schach, which begins like over there in the middle, connected to the bottom there, that's schach. And this, although it's schach material, it's really viewed as the wall, so it's a bent wall which directly connects to the schach. That's how Rashi views it. And others show him, no, we take this wall, we view the wall as if it gets moved over. As opposed to the schach being a continuation, we ignore that schach and the wall is kind of moved over. So that's the machlok is how to understand Dofen Akuma, and there are a number of nafkaminas. One nafkamina is a person allowed to sit in the area outside the stage below the schach? If you assume that you move over the wall, if you will, then you can't because you're being viewed as sitting outside the sukkah. But if you view that you're sitting, that the wall goes up and continues on to the schach, then you're allowed to because you're still within the confines of the sukkah. That's one nafkamina.
So in that case, the size of the platform would be irrelevant.
Well, I still think the...
Where does the size of the platform fit in? The square footage, let's say, of the platform.
Right, I guess you'd still need the platform to be 7.5 by 7.5 to have a starting point. Now, that's a sukkah. Okay. And then once you have that, then the question is, how do you view this vehicle, Dofen Akuma? So once, but you need that to as a starting point. If the starting point is not does not have a square footage of 7.5 by 7.5, then there's nothing to talk about, I think. There is another nafkamina here about these two approaches. Ah. Does this wall have to actually touch the schach or not? If you assume that the wall is being continued up into the schach as one continuous wall, then you require that the wall has to actually touch the schach. But if you're simply viewing the wall as being moved over, then it doesn't have to directly touch the schach. That's another nafkamina, and there are others as well, but those are two basic nafkaminas. Okay, the Gemara continues now and says, Tanina. So we already have a Mishnah that teaches us this concept of Dofen Akuma. The Mishnah says, Bayis shenifchas v'sichach agavav, a house that the center of the ceiling became the ceiling got removed, it got damaged, it was open. And then you put schach on top of this area now. Im yesh min hakosa l'sichach, if you have from the wall of the house to this area in the middle of the schach, dal amos, if it's 4 amos away, it's possible. Ha'pachas mikan k'shera, if it's less than that, from the wall of the house to the schach is less than 4 amos, it's kosher, seemingly because of the concept of a dofen akuma. So why do you have to teach a halacha here? Why does the Braisa come to teach me Dofen Akuma if there's a Mefurisha Mishnah? Mishnah comes before the Gemara, of course. So the Mefurisha Mishnah in later on tells us that Dofen Akuma works. What's added by the Braisa? So the Gemara says, Mao, the same of what would you have thought from the Mishnah alone? Hasim hu dechazi the Dofen. Avahachad lo chazi the Dofen emalo. Over there, when I came to the house, so... came to the house, the actual walls of the house served as a wall. But when it comes to this case here, the bending of the schach won't serve as a wall. What's the svar here? Ah, right, that's the point. Because our case here, we're talking about a 20 amos sukkah, remember. So 20 amos sukkah, that wall, which does not have the stage next to it, that third wall, so it's actually 20 amos high. 20 amos wall, we said, is not a good sukkah. So you would think when it came to the house where the house is less than 20 amos, so that's the wall. Is a good, it's a good wall for a sukkah. It's not 20 amos high. But here where this wall independently is 20 amos, and that in general is viewed as too high, it's possible, you might think that's not going to be a good sukkah. So, Kamash Mal, no, since you have the 7.5 and 7.5 square footage, so then we can even acknowledge the 20 amos wall as being a kosher wall. That's the chiddush that we're saying here. Gemara quotes another case Ha'isa gavoh me'esim amal. Let's say the sukkah was 20 amos high. Ubana itzdeva, and you build this stage once again. Bemsiu, so this time you build it in the center of the sukkah. So then im yesh misfas itzdeva uledofen arba amos l'chal ruach v'ruach psula. If, let's say, from the center of the stage, each of the walls is not connecting to any of the walls, but all the walls, it's 4 amos away, psula. Parchus me'arba amos, if it's less than 4 amos from each of the walls, then it's k'shera. So the Gemara says, my k'mash malam, what's the chiddush here? The Amrinan dofen akuma. The chiddush is, we say dofen akuma. Gemara says, hainu hach, we just taught you a Mishnah, and then we taught a Braisa that already taught us dofen akuma. Why is there yet another Braisa teaching me the concept of dofen akuma? The Gemara says, Ma'u the same, you would have thought Dofen Akuma Miruach Achas Amir. Maybe we only applied Dofen Akuma one time. Only in one direction are you allowed to apply Dofen Akuma. About Koruach Ruach Lo, but maybe to apply Dofen Akuma to all 3 walls, maybe we don't go so far to say that. Kamash Milan, that we apply Dofen Akuma in even 3 directions. Even though the stage might be in the center, as long as it's less than 4 amos from each of the 3 walls, we apply Dofen Akuma, and we say, therefore, it's a kosher sukkah. Gemara discusses another case now. Ha'isat p'chusa miyud tvachim. Let's say the sukkah is less than 10 tvachim high. So, and you want to make it higher. How do you make it higher? Chokok ba kedei lashlima la'asara. You start digging the ground, making the ground lower by digging up some of the dirt. Now, you start digging up some of the dirt, let's say in the center of the sukkah. Im yesh misvas chokok. If you have from the border of the hole, lekosel gimel tefachim psula. Let's say the distance from this pit in the ground to the walls is 3 tefachim. If the hole in the middle to the walls is less than 3 tefachim, ksherer. It's a good sukkah. We could view the bottom of the floor to be connected to the walls. So Gemara says, Maishna hasam, why over there before, the amris pachus ma'arba amos, umayishna hasam mishlosha tefachim? Why, when it came to the previous case of the stage, we allowed you up until 4 amos, which is a large shear. 4 amos total is what? Let's say, assuming the amos is 5 tvachim, that's 20 tvachim in each direction. But here, when it comes to the floor, the hole in the floor, we only allow 3 tvachim in each direction. That's a huge difference. 3 tvachim versus 40 tvachim, that's a big difference. So what's the difference? The Gemara explains, Hasam over there, when it came to the itztava, to the platform, the Isla Dauphin, Parchus Me'arba Amos, Sagya. Because there you at least had a good walls ready. Right, even though, again, the wall over there in that case was above 20 Amos, it's still called a wall. Once you have something 10 Tvachim high, that's a wall. Beyond that, it's still considered a wall. Now, there might be a technical reason why it's disqualified for a sukkah, but it's still called a dofen. So I don't have to create a shame dofen, I just have to make the dofen smaller. But here, when it comes to our case of the building a hole in the ground, hacha l'shavi l'dofen, here I need to actually create the wall in the first place, so therefore we only allow pachas mishlosha tvachim in ilo lo. You need 3 tvachim to create the wall. It's a greater chiddush. You're accomplishing a lot more in this case. Therefore, it's much more limited how much space we allow. Only 3 tvachim could create it. Gemara quotes yet another case like this. Ha'isa gvoa me'esrim amos. Let's say the sukkah was 20 amos high. Ubana ba'amud shehu gvoa asar tvachim. Now you build a platform. Amud's a little smaller than an itztava, I think. A little pillar, but you build a pillar, let's say, that you could stand on a 10 tvachim high. Now this platform, this pillar itself, has the shear of 7.5 by 7.5. So, savar bai lemeimar good asik mechitzasa. You could say the walls of the platform, we view them as if they're going straight up, invisibly to the schach here. So, good asik is a concept that's applied in Erevin. So he wanted to say, also by sukkah, since it's 7.5 by 7.5, you can view the walls as going up until a schach. So now you have walls, you have a schach on top, everything should be good. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Rava, Rava responds to Baye, Ba'inan mechitos hanikaros v'leka. Now when it comes to halachas of sukkah, you need mechitos nikaros. You have to be able to notice the walls. Since you don't notice the walls here, it's not going to be considered a good walls and a good sukkah. So Tanur Rabban, the Gemara brings a brisa. It says, "Nats arba kundisin." You, let's say, place four poles in four corners of the ground. V'shikach agav, and then you place on top of them some schach, and four poles on a schach. Is that a good sukkah or not? Rabbi Yaakov Machshir. Rabbi Yaakov says, "Yeah, certainly it's a good sukkah." And Chachamim post and Chachamim say, "No, this does not qualify. What's this machlokas?" So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna machlokas al svas hagag." The whole debate, Rav Huna says, is you're talking about a roof. You're on the roof of a building. I have a nice little picture here if you want to see. Roof of a building, you have four poles. That's the machloka, is whether this is a good sukkah. Why? So Gemara says, the Yaakov Savar Aminon Gud Asik Michitasa. We could view the walls of the building below as going up above, even though they're not actually there, but you could view them as continuing up. And therefore, you have these invisible walls. You have four walls. You have a schach, and therefore, Rabbi Yaakov says it's a good sukkah. The Rabbanan Savri Lo Aminu Gudasuk Michitasa. We do not apply the din of Gudasuk. Lemaisa, there are no walls to the sukkah, and therefore, it's possible. That's the machlokas. Aval Be'em Sagag. If we're talking about a sukkah, four poles in the center of the roof, like this. Again, nice pictures here in the center, where you cannot say Gudasuk. There are no walls to talk about. So in such a case, even Rabbi Yaakov will agree that such a sukkah will be possible. That's all according to Rav Huna's understanding of the debate between Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov. Rav Nachman, however, argues in Rav Huna's understanding. Rav Nachman holds, Rav Nachman Amar, Bem Tzagag Machlokas. Nope. They're arguing about the center of the roof. Even then, there's such a Machlokas. Rashi explains, the Machlokas is, let's look at that Rashi. Let's see Rashi. Rav Nachman Amar Be'emtza Hagag Machlokas. It's around halfway down in Rashi's. It says Va'yidei Hakundusin, through these four poles, Rav Yaakov Machshira Ukigon. What's the example of this? Shein Rochav Tefach. They are a Tefach wide, and Tefach they're square. Tefach by Tefach. L'chol Tzidem Dika Shein Mechitos Tefach Mitzafon L'darom. So each direction of Tefach has a wall. A tefach wide is considered a wall. B'shem mechitas tefach mimizrach lemar b'chol achas v'achas k'delakamon. I'm always going to explain this later on. But since each corner have a tefach in this way, tefach in that way, at each of the four corners, that, according to Rabbi Yaakov, serves as walls, even though they're really poles, but you could just kind of shave out the middle to view them as a little bit of a wall, and therefore he thinks it's a kasher sukkah, forgetting the walls of the building. You don't need the walls of the building. We're talking about the center, where the four poles are in the center of the building, and there's nothing to talk about from the gudasik. That's what Rav Nachman says is the machlokas. So Gemara asks, Ibailu, according to Rav Nachman, who says they're arguing about the center of the gag, be'em sahagag machlokas, are they arguing about the center of al-svas agag divra kol k'shera? But if the poles were against the border of the roof, everybody would agree. Even the Rabbanan would agree it's a good sukkah, that you say good asik. Everybody agrees you say good asik. Or al dilma bein zu machlokas. Or maybe that the Rav Nachman thought they're debating about both. They're debating about the case where the poles are against the end of the roof, and they're debating about when the poles are in the center of the roof. Now, the two different machlokasim, one to debate whether you apply good asik, and one to debate whether you apply this concept of the splitting the poles up, looking at them tefach by tefach. So the Gemara says, Teku, they're not sure how to understand the station of Rav Nachman, whether or not they're only arguing about the emsagag, or they're even arguing about the svasagag. The Gemara halfway down and asks the following question, Meisive. Not dal kundusin be'arts. Let's say, forget the roof. Let's talk about the ground. You place four poles on the ground. V'sikach ha'gaban, and then you place a schach on top of them. Rabbi Yaakov machshir, v'chacham post. Rabbi Yaakov says this is good, and Chacham says it's not good. V'ha eretz, dike'emtza ha'gagami, and the ground, where of course there are no edges, is just like placing four poles on the middle of a roof. And yet, v'kamachshir Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Yaakov says it's a good sukkah, tiyufta di Rav Huna, tiyufta. So Rav Huna thought above that if the poles were placed in the center of the gag, everyone would think it's possible. Even Rabbi Yaakov would think it's possible. But this brisa clearly says that Rabbi Yaakov thinks such a case is mutter, because a four poles placed in the ground is this equivalent to four poles placed on the center of a roof. Again, they're both situations where you don't apply gudasik. There are no walls to speak of. So this is a tiyuv to the Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna thought that the Emsa Gag, nobody argues, that even Rav Yaakov says it's puzzle, but this Brisa clearly says the Emsa would be kosher according to Rav Yaakov. The Od, furthermore, Bemsa Gag hu depligi, Bemsa hu depligi, Val Sasa Gag divra kol kshera. So, further, this Brisa says that the only machlokis is when it comes to the center, when you place the four poles on the ground. But if it came to the edge of the a rooftop, it sounds like from this brisa, everyone would hold divrei kol kshera. This should be kosher. Lema tiyav tiyuf to the Rav Huna betarte. So now Rav Huna say they argue on two points now, because the fact that brisa brings an example only of four poles on the ground seems to say that if there are four poles on the roof, on the edge of the roof, everyone, even the Rabbanan, would say it's kosher. And Rav Huna thought that no, the Rabbanan felt that on the edge of a roof is actually going to be possible. So Lema again say that there are two questions. Lema tetiuf to Rav Huna betarte. There's a double question here on Rav Huna. So Gemara responds, Amlecha Rav Huna. Rav Huna himself responds, Pligi b'emtza gag, v'hua din al sfas gag. No, they're really arguing on both accounts. They're arguing about the in the center of a roof, and they're also arguing about if it's on the edge of the roof. So the question is, if they're also arguing about the end of the roof, why does the Bryce we just brought only discuss a case of the ground? The Gemara should have also explained the case of on the edge of a roof. So Rav Huna explains, V'hai de kemifigli be'emsa gag, that which the Bryce chose to discuss only a case of the emsa gag, meaning on the ground, where there are no walls to talk of, Lodiacha kolcha de Rabbi Yaakov, to show the strength of Rabbi Yaakov that he's even able to permit such a case, da'afil be'emsa hagag na'mi machshir, meaning it's pasha that if it's on the walls, the edge of the roof, okay, that we can understand a good asik, because that's going to be a kosher sukkah. But to say that even in the center of a roof, even on the ground, and that's kosher, that's a big chiddush. So, since it's a greater chiddush, we wanted to highlight that point of Rabbi Yaakov. Even in the center of a gag, even then, Rabbi Yaakov will permit such a sukkah. And that's why we taught that specific case. But not to teach me in the other case of the edge of a rooftop will not be good according to Rabbi Yaakov. Continues the Gemara and says, now, Tanur Rabbanon, Notz Arba Kundisin Baretz, you place four poles on the ground, V'sikach HaGabon, and then you place Schach on top of the four poles. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rowan Kol She'ilu Yechakugu, you view it as if any time that Yechakugu, you could kind of shave out the middle of the poles, V'chalku, and then you could split it up, so let's say you have a box like this, but you shave out the inside, so you end up getting a wall that looks like that, like an L shape. If you're able to do that, and when doing that, Yeshba Tefach Lakam Tefach Lakam, the wall now, this shaved beam, has a Tefach in each direction, north, south, east, west, and every four corners has that Tefach. Nidonon Mishum Diyumad. You view it as Diyumad, which is a term, Di is two, like two poles. Gemara and Erevin talks about this. You could view it as a double wall, not in each direction. Right, does Rashi explain this? Right, see Rashi, Nidon Mishum Diyumad. It's 1 to 5 medium wide lines down. It says, Nidon Mishum Diyumad. Ata danu lahachshir kedin. You're able to be machshir such a case. Kedin sh'amru chachamim, like what the chachamim say, le'inyan pasi bireos be'irvin. It's talking about a particular case in Irvin. Shenitarin ba'arba diyumdin. You could have them, you could permit carrying around a well if you have these four poles called diyumdin. V'alshem, why is it called diyumdin? Alshem sheyesh l'chol echad shtey mechitos, because each of these poles actually have two walls. Karle diyumdin, dayo omdin, shnei amudin, two poles. So that, whatever the Gemara in the Erevin is talking about in Daf Yud Zayin, that's the same thing we're talking about here. So again, it can't just be any pole. It has to be a pole that has a tefach going in each direction. That's according to this brisa. Vimla, back to the Gemara. Vimla, if it doesn't have a tefach in each direction, ein nidonion mishum diumad. You can't judge this case as diumden. You can't view them as two walls. Shaya Rabbi Yaakov Omer, diumde sukkah tefach. When it comes to the sukkah, each of these poles have to have a tefach in each direction. If it doesn't have a tefach in each direction, this four-pole sukkah will not qualify. However, the Chachamim Omerim, they argue entirely in Rabbi Yaakov, and they say, Chachamim Omerim, ad sheyehu shtayim kilchasan v'shlishis afil tefach. Here, the Chachamim say, you need two full walls, and then a third one could be a tefach. But to allow each of the walls to be one tefach, that he doesn't allow. Again, it has to be two full walls of 7.5 tefachim each, and then a third wall with a little bit of a tefach. Okay, so we'll stop here. The next discussion is all about the aron, the size of the aron. That goes well into the next page, so this is a good stopping point, I think. It is early, but...